This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the greatest city in the world. We are currently hosting Zac Efron at the moment. He is
not personally.
Yeah, I wish not personally, but he is filming a movie here in Adelaide. And I mean, Byron Bay, who?
I know. Well, we've had some great COVID numbers. You know, we're back, we're bustling, we're, you know, acting normal in our city, obviously with COVID rules in place. But to make things even better, as Sophie said, we've got Zac Efron here. Who would have thought?
And this is the greatest thing to ever happen to the city of Adelaide. You should see the girls currently on the street, all with fucking binoculars, trying to bump into Zac Efron. We saw on Twitter, he was at Greater Union.
Now, one of our friends, Sarah, we had a picnic with her the other day, and I don't know if this is a compliment or an insult. I'm taking it as a compliment. She said that we're some of the best stalkers she knows.
Because we're in PR.
Yeah, being in PR and former journalists, that she wanted to find out if we knew where Zac Efron was. And here's a little tip to anyone trying to find him. The best thing to do is to go on Twitter and you start typing random terms like Zac Efron and met.
I don't know if that's a really random term when you're looking for Zac Efron to type his name into Twitter, but you meant in the most recent field.
Yeah, I said you go Zac Efron and met, and then you go latest, and that's where I found out Zac Efron has been hanging out at the Gold Class Cinemas in Adelaide.
Hang on, now you're confusing people because, Sophie, you said Greater Union and you said Gold Class. I don't think Greater Union's even a thing, isn't it?
Like, is it not?
Event movie.
Yeah. Well, it's at the movie somewhere.
So that was at Glenelg because there's rumours. So the movie is filming in Glenelg, which is a beachside town in Adelaide.
That is 20 minutes from my house. Does that mean Zac Efron is 20 minutes away from us as we are recording?
Well, we used to live at Brighton, which is like 2 minutes from Glenelg.
Look, guys, I said it was Gold Class. So there's Gold Class in lots of different movie theatres. We don't know which theatre. I did try and stalk the girl on Facebook who did say on Twitter that she had found him, but nothing else is up about where she works.
It's so funny because my boyfriend is the biggest Zac Efron fan. He loves High School Musical, and as soon as he heard this news, he came home and he said to me, if I see him, should I go up to him and say, living in my own world? And I was like, please do not.
That's like something that Brandon would do. It was like, what was that footy player that drove past and he started like singing in his car?
His favorite football player is Jack Watts, and we were sitting in the car in the city.
I love the question in your tone. Jack Watts?
And he walked past, and Brandon literally had a freak out. He's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I was thinking, he's yelling that loudly that this guy can probably hear us, and we're the same age as him. Like,
yeah.
And then he did an excited – oh, actually, no, I won't have that bit.
No, what were you going to say?
Yeah, say it.
He did an excited fart.
Oh my gosh. Can I just ask you guys, what is your take on seeing a celebrity out in the wild as per se? If you saw Zac Efron, would you go up to him and ask for a photo, or would you kind of play it cool? I'm assuming how his, you know, Byron Bay girlfriend played it, and would you just pretend that you didn't know who he was?
Well, I think that's why everyone's up in arms at the moment. Now that he's going out with or dating some normal girl, I think everyone in Adelaide thinks they're in with a chance.
I think I would like to think I would act normal, but I would probably just go up and ask for a photo. But I would be worried that, you know that moment where a celebrity like rejects you in terms of like tells you to piss off? I would be worried because I do love Zac Efron, and I'd be so worried that that would happen and it would tarnish my opinion of him.
I think I'd go up and I'd just be like, oh, I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan of your work. I don't want to bring attention to the fact.
Amy thinks she's the most like, oh, relax, and then have no idea what she's doing. Like, wouldn't it be so obvious?
I can just imagine it would be so awkward.
Maybe we'll have to try and get him on the podcast. Maybe that could be our win.
Maybe. Yeah, we did this podcast. Then would you be on it? It's just at our house down the road. Imagine Brandon coming in and Zac Efron's up here recording with us.
Well, we literally had the discussion that he was apparently also hiking at Kaipo Forest. And I said, oh my God, imagine if we saw him. He's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, it'd be exciting, wouldn't it? And he got so jealous. I'm like, there's no chance.
We're soaring, flying. There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach.
If we're trying, so we're breaking free.
Guys, Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville have hit back at claims they're anti-vaxxers. The couple took to YouTube to debunk the myth and explained they will vaccinate their son, Artis. So can you tell us a bit more about what went down?
Well, ever since they've become parents, I feel like everyone has wondered whether they are going to vaccinate their son. Chloe seems to have a very holistic approach to medicine. She's always talking about naturopaths, and it was quite evident that they were going to share a lot about their son and the big life decisions, I suppose, they were going to make around him. They were even going to make a family channel up. So people seemed to think it was weird that we hadn't heard anything about him getting vaccinated. So during one of Instagram page Celeb Spellcheck's Q&A sessions, a fan anonymously asked, "Do you think Chloe Zepp and Mitchell have vaccinated their baby?" Celeb Spellcheck responded saying, "Disclaimer, I can't say this is fact. However, she follows an anti-vax Instagram page and Artis is well over the age that a baby would generally get their first vaccinations."
Connection was made considering Chloe was following the page, and I feel like they did seem like they needed to clear it up a little bit. So Chloe and Mitch released a YouTube video last week, and we'll throw a little bit to what they said.
Well,
we should tell them about the doctors yesterday.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. We're getting all this random fucking...
Oh, everyone's saying we're anti-vaxxers and shit.
We're not. Also, like, I think with vaccinations, we just, it wasn't like, I don't know, I think what? If you're a parent, you might understand this. If not, I don't know, maybe we're just really, like, oversensitive, but we just didn't feel confident just jabbing him with, like, all these vaccinations straight away without looking into it ourselves. Like, I feel like we were allowed to do our own research. Isn't that right? So what we've ended up working out was like...
We need to prepare his immune system so that... Because you do have reactions and they get temperatures and their immune system has to work hard to combat the vaccine.
You get why.
So all these pages can say, stop saying that we're...
Yeah, so fucking Celeb Spellcheck. And that is...
So they basically went on to explain that they are getting Artis' body ready for this vaccination. They said that they are seeing a conventional doctor, but it's also an integrated doctor. So I think that there is some naturopathy within that, the services offered there. So they were basically saying that Chloe is going to be taking a lot of vitamins, eating very healthy for the next 2 weeks so that Artis gets that through her breast milk. And at the end of the day, I feel like it is their decision what they want to do with their child.
Yeah, I 100% agree. What do you guys think about the jab at Celeb Spellcheck?
I can see why they made the jab. I mean, I do enjoy the page and I do like the fact that it keeps influencers to account. But to be fair, Celeb Spellcheck did say, disclaimer, I don't know this a fact. We're just putting two and two together. And it's kind of what you expect. I mean, we have seen Artis be born on the YouTube channel. We've kind of been keeping up to date with everything that's going on in his life. So it is kind of a reasonable assumption you would make that we haven't seen his vaccination. So perhaps he's not being vaccinated.
Well, they did explain in their video that they kind of were exploring their options. They said that they were doing a lot of research into it and they didn't feel comfortable just jabbing him with any vaccination straight away. So you can kind of see why people were assuming perhaps they were anti-vaxxers.
Well, one thing that I like that is that they didn't actually share that thought process with everyone, because as we know, it's extremely dangerous to be pushing anti-vaccination. So good on them for not saying, oh, we've actually been thinking about it. They've actually come to a point where they've said, we've decided to vaccinate him because we think it's the right thing to do. I think that is really positive. Obviously, there's going to be speculation when you put your child's life on Instagram and YouTube, whether you're going to be doing that or not.
I thought it was kind of interesting, though, how they did actually mention Celeb Spellcheck, because it's kind of, you know, you can see why a lot of podcasts and why a lot of pages tend to focus on big celebrity news, because in Australia, we're in this strange sort of field where these influencers are normal people, but they also live a lifestyle that is so different to normal Australians that...
Well, they actually have the time
to
see what people are saying about them online and reply to them, whereas people who are film actors filming movies, they just don't give a shit and don't have the time.
It is a funny thing. I suppose that's the thing with influencers, that they are just normal people that sort of share their lives with us, and that's why they feel like they shouldn't be spoken about, but you're actually giving us access to your life, so why would we not speak about you?
Exactly.
Well, going back to the video, I did find it quite amusing because they were showing themselves cooking all this healthy food in the kitchen, and they were talking about how they've cut out dairy, they're only eating healthy food at the advice of their naturopath, and it did seem like they were taking a very holistic approach to making sure that Artis's immune system was, you know, in check.
I found that interesting because Chloe has been very much talking about these postpartum meals that she's been having that are meant to be giving her a lot of vitamins and energy. So it's quite you know, ironic that she's saying now I'm boosting my diet.
I think we are seeing a bit of a generational shift because our parents would have gone straight to the GP to get all the advice. And now we're seeing young mums on Instagram who have grown up a little bit differently, who have gone and they've had naturopaths themselves for a number of years. And now they're integrating this way of thinking into their child's life.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that they've grown up differently. I think that that naturopaths are becoming more recognized in society. And it is something that we're taking more seriously than ever before.
But it does open them up to criticism as well, because a lot of people just don't understand naturopaths and they think it's all mumbo jumbo.
I think the issue is that a lot of people use Google rather than going to a professional naturopath.
I think also you've got to combine seeing a naturopath with also seeing a doctor. The two should be going hand in hand.
Well, another influencer who has been accused of being an anti-vaxxer is Sarah's Day. Now, this is despite Sarah never coming out and actually saying she is an anti-vaxxer, which I think is an important thing to note because a lot of people are putting two and two together like they did with Chloe and Mitch and coming to their own definition of what this person believes in.
Well, it's so funny because I feel like saying, oh, the proof is that they haven't documented the process. It's like, well, what name one influencer who has? I mean, no one's calling Sky Wheatley an anti-vaxxer. I haven't seen her filming Forrest getting his vaccination.
Actually, I think some people have been accusing her of being an anti-vaxxer because they haven't seen it. But I can understand why people are making these accusations because with Sarah's Day and also with Sky and Chloe, we have seen a lot of the journey of firstly Sarah becoming pregnant. So she actually shared 42 YouTube videos of her pregnancy journey. She's then shared 82 videos since she's had her son Fox, and Fox has featured very heavily in those videos. And if you have a look, I mean, she has gotten 7.7 million views on her birth vlog alone. So I can see why so many people are invested into the process. But, and you would think, because there's been a bunch of milestones that she's shared. She's shared the gender reveal. She's announced the name, obviously the birth, and there's all these milestones along the way. So, you know, you would think she would show us him getting his vaccinations.
But that being said, I feel like because, you know, her and Chloe are known for being quite holistic in their approach, I feel like maybe they're scared to share the fact that they are getting their children vaccinated for the fact that then anti-vaxxers will have a go at them.
I don't know. I mean, I would not be surprised if Sarah's Day didn't believe in vaccinations. Because she was on her story the other day and Fox had a UTI and she was very against him getting antibiotics, which we've seen in her YouTube channel before when she got a staph infection. So she's always balanced Western medicine with naturopathy as well. I'm not saying she is an anti-vaxxer, but it would suit her profile that she's putting out there at the moment.
As you said, it is hard because they do share so much of their life. But as Sophie said, I can understand why they wouldn't share something like that, because one, who wants to see a child receiving an injection, to be honest? And also, it's opening yourself up to this debate because there are people who are anti-vaxxers and there are people who are pro-vaccine.
Yeah, but I think it's a really important thing to show. Vaccinations save lives. It would be really great for someone who has a child to come out and actually show that process, because there's probably a lot of people out there that are scared because of this propaganda that's being pushed by the anti-vaxxers. One thing that is a little bit of a clue as to where Kurt and Sarah potentially think and their thoughts lie is the fact that they both follow Pete Evans on Instagram.
So do a lot of people, though. I don't think that that's necessarily indicative of them being anti-vaxxers. They've spoken before that they've met him and that they both used to follow a paleo diet.
I don't think we can jump to assumptions like that because someone's following something. And also, they've never said it.
Most people who are anti-vaxxers are pretty loud and proud about it.
Well, I think the broader issue is the judgment of mothers on YouTube and Instagram at the moment.
Yeah, so there's forums like Tattle Life and Guru Gossiper, and there are so many threads about different influencers, and each thread has about 1,000 posts in it before it gets sort of moved into a next conversation. And I think Sarah's Day's got about 15 topics just on her. And the quite interesting thing is those people in the forums, they don't like her, but it's quite obvious that they used to be fans of her.
I saw one of the threads the other day, and some of these users have gone to the extent of using an outside platform to view her videos on because they don't want her to get the view count. That's like next level, isn't it?
Well, I know a lot of them have been blocked by Sarah, and that's sort of, they're probably using fake profiles. Well, one of the threads I was having a look at today was titled Sarah's Anti-Vax Pro Coffee Day Part 7. And this thread had 1,097 posts in it. And to be honest, the thread just completely tore her to shreds. It kind of just looks at everything she does under a microscope. So some of the comments that I felt were quite disgusting and quite mum-shaming. So one of the comments was, she took him to a baby chiropractor? What the fuck is wrong with this girl? She's projecting a ton of issues onto this baby for no freaking reason. It's not normal the way she insists there's something wrong with him and he needs a naturopath and a chiro. But then in brackets, but would never take him to an evil pediatrician. Maybe she doesn't take him to a real doctor because they'd laugh in her face and tell her that Fox is perfectly normal. There are a whole bunch of other comments that were literally just like saying that everything she did was wrong. There was even one that said that they thought Fox had autism.
I mean, that's where you are crossing the line when you're talking about children's development issues. I mean, we are seeing a small snippet of this child's life. Yes, as you touched on, they are sharing a lot of videos, but really we see a few minutes about Fox and the rest about Sarah and Kurt.
It makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable when people are commenting on people's children, because it's okay to talk about Sarah's day. She's put herself out there, and I know Sarah is putting her child out there, but Fox doesn't have a say in what's shown. And when you're talking about a child's development, when you've only seen a few videos of them, I think it's just going a bit too far.
But it also is giving probably the parent who might be looking at this a complex over their child as well. And yeah, it's probably making them feel the pressure that, hey, I've got to reach this certain standard. We have seen it a little bit with Skye Wheatley. She shared on her story that people wanted her to share Forrest speaking more because they were picking up the fact, similar to Fox, that he apparently wasn't talking enough for what they believed he should be doing. And I feel like it comes back to parents being incredibly competitive over their children.
Yeah.
And also it makes them feel better if they're succeeding and their child is somehow more advanced than this influencer who has everything.
Yeah, I've seen so many comments that, yeah, Fox and Forrest aren't talking properly and they shouldn't be having dummies. And yeah, it does seem very mum-shamey. And when I was looking into the comments, it seemed like a lot of the people commenting were mums that are obviously, that makes them feel better that their child might be developing at a quicker pace. I do think it's an interesting concept to kind of discuss the fact that this child has not chosen to be put on this platform. And while it may seem fair to comment on Sarah or Chloe or Skye's parenting, I don't think it's fair to actually comment, as you said, Amy, on the child. They have not chosen to be on this platform.
Playing devil's advocate though, do you think that some of the mums might be concerned about some of the kids and that's their sort of, they're trying to voice it in a way?
But how is that helping their concern by putting it on a public forum where they're trashing her?
No, it's not. But
it's very judgmental. Put yourself in a scenario. So if you were at a primary school, if you were a mother, would you go and like go up to the kid and say, oh, I don't think your kid's developing properly? Yeah. Or would you say it behind her back? Or what would you do? Because I don't think anyone really likes people commenting on their children. I think that's a place of a professional to do so. Perhaps if the teacher was to say, hey, Fox isn't developing at the age he should be at, you know, what can we do? That's very different to someone else coming up to you and telling you your child's not developing properly.
We have touched on it a little bit in the past, but I just think it is so fascinating because this is the first time we're going to see kids growing up on YouTube and growing up online. How are they going to feel when they're, you know, 20 years down the track, when they can go on a forum, see these things about themselves? Also, it's the first time we've had a platform where mums can compare how they're doing in comparison to other mums, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy to think that Fox or Forrest or artists can go onto the internet in year 7 and see, you know, so many years ago that these women were talking about these things that were shared of them on an Instagram story that they would have no recollection of whatsoever.
And you even think of kids bullying other kids. I could feel like at high school, this is something where someone would jump on and be like, hey, look at this, what everyone was saying about you then.
Well, do you think their parents shouldn't be sharing them then? I mean, it is a big responsibility because Sarah's day, her whole career is based around what she shares online. And can you imagine if she just had a blanket rule where she didn't share anything about her kids? Like, you think of celebrities like Michael Jackson, who had to cover his children's faces because they were so well known. This is obviously on a micro level.
Well, we saw it with Kim Kardashian. She didn't want North to appear in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and then she did in the end. And then we've seen Kourtney with her 3 children that she was happy for Mason to be born on an episode and show him them pulling him out. So as you said, it's this new breed of kids being shown on Instagram and YouTube, which is so unprecedented, and it's only in 20 years' time that we're really going to know the effect on them.
I think the thing we've got to remind ourselves, and it's what we constantly tell teenagers, is Instagram and YouTube, they are merely highlights of people's lives. It is not the real story. So behind the scenes, these mums might be spending hours teaching their kids how to talk. They might be doing all the research and getting all the right vaccinations done for their kids. We've just got to remember, we never know what is going on behind the scenes.
There are no rules in this house. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Right, Regina?
Let's get into our reality wrap. Now, Kate, can you tell me about the I'm a Celebrity rumours?
Well, there's some rumours circulating that a few interesting people may be cast on the Australian series. So Pete Evans, who we touched upon earlier, may be going into the jungle, which has pissed off a lot of people. A lot of fans are saying they will not watch the show if Channel 10 give him a platform to basically spin all of his bullshit on.
Wouldn't it be a bit hypocritical for him to be on? Because he's been slagging off the mainstream media for the past few months.
Well, he actually put a post on Instagram and wrote, "Gotta love the lamestream media." He then put a quote saying, "Network 10 didn't confirm the news to The Australian, but its sources described Evans as a conversation starter who helped drive numbers up." And then he wrote, "That sure is one way to put it, although I personally call it a huge fucking mess. All it would achieve is even more toxic discourse on Twitter." So it sounds like he won't be going into the jungle.
Yeah, well, I love that because he's obviously saying Channel 10 have not shut down the rumours, and he's clearly pointing out that they're the ones who have made the rumours to get people interested in the show.
I mean, half the time we always hear, oh, this huge person is going to be on I'm a Celebrity, and then we turn it on and we don't know who anyone is.
Well, the other person that's meant to be on is Tammy Hembro, and I would actually watch this to see Tammy in the jungle. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, there's a few other kind of C grades. There's Tanya Zieta, Ian Thorpe, George Columbaris, and not that Abby's a C grader, but Abby Chatfield, who I would also love to see go in the jungle, and also Beck Hewitt.
Well, I mean, yeah, I feel like Beck Hewitt and Abby Chatfield, they're both good gets. Tanya Zieta, no offense to her, but I think she's had her day. I wouldn't really call her a celebrity anymore.
I feel like she's on par with the type of people that would be on it, though. Like, isn't Tanya Zieta the sort of person that would be on that
show? Exactly. I mean, she is a definite who will be on there.
Yeah.
Tammy Hembro, maybe not.
Now, we've got to talk about the Bachelorette finale and the fallout that happened after it.
I feel like we've got a different take because obviously we're from Adelaide. Pete, who everyone is slamming, he's an Adelaide boy. And I feel a bit sorry for him.
I can understand where you're coming from. I think Pete, we actually do know a few people that know him, and he is a very nice guy. And I feel like he would have thought he was doing the right thing by being honest with Becky. However, the timing is very off. There's a lot of question marks around the fact, like, why didn't he tell her when he was at the hometowns?
Mm. Do you know what I think is unfair? Is that they just put Becky out for all of those interviews. Mm. So Pete didn't actually get to have his say about what's happened. And as you say, we've got to remember, this is another bullshit Australian series of The Bachelorette where no one really gets to know anyone very well. I mean, look at Ellie and Fraser. It was like they just announced they were dating. I did not see any love there.
We also have to understand that Pete got out of an 11-year relationship and then has gone on this show. So, I mean, obviously his head is probably still all over the place. These guys get approached to be on these shows. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's desperate to find love. Yes, he probably, if he felt at the time that he didn't want to be with her, he probably should have said something. But maybe he wanted to see where it went. And maybe those few days that they spent together, because it's probably the only real amount of time they spent together, he might have been like, fuck, I'm not feeling this at all.
I kind of get it when he said there wasn't a spark, because watching it, there didn't really seem to be a spark between Pete and Becky. It kind of seemed on paper that, yeah, Pete was great and he kind of matched up with what Becky wanted. But she said herself, she had an amazing spark with Adrian, who she's now talking to. So I really hope, because I did feel really sorry for her. It was really hard listening to those interviews. So
And that being said, she only had nice things to say about Pete as well. I thought that she was really respectful in the way that she handled it, and it really did say a lot about her character.
What do we think about the rumors about Fraser and Ellie? Because I think it's a total showmance at the moment. I feel like producers said, look, Becky and Pete have split up. I don't think Becky has the media skills to pretend that they're together. So I think, Ellie, you're going to have to pretend that you're with Fraser.
Oh, and the rumors are that Fraser has had a secret girlfriend the whole time during filming and a little bit after. So it's all come out, some text messages between he and this girl.
And she's been looking after his dog, for God's sake.
Yeah. To me, it sounded like they obviously had something before the show, and then he's got her to look after the dog, but it doesn't sound like they've been dating since he's come back. I mean, it's not a great look for him.
To be honest, I'm just thrilled that the show's over. I think we need to have a bit of a break from Bachelor. Before we do stop talking about The Bachelor, did anyone see this going down on Instagram? I didn't actually remember her, but Bachelor's Nicole Wood. So she was on Matt Angu's series, and when I had a look at her Instagram, I did recognize her. She has come out and announced that her baby dad has cheated on her, and she is heavily pregnant, like about to give birth. And she had a rant on her Instagram story calling him out, saying that where she said, how good's it finding out your boyfriend fucked someone a couple of days ago when you're super pregnant after helping him for a year trying to get him off drugs? Love that for me. So sounds like a really toxic situation. She then did go on to say more on her Instagram story that she probably shouldn't have used Instagram to share this news, but she really wanted to make others aware of this sort of red flag, which kind of seems like if your boyfriend's taking drugs when you're 9 months pregnant, that's not really great.
Look, we've all been there, haven't we? When something has really annoyed you and you just want to go on social media and post about it. I do feel really sorry for her. That's awful.
Well, particularly for her, she's pregnant. Her hormones would be all over the place. And I mean, someone probably just should have taken her phone away from her because, yeah, I feel like it's one you regret saying.
Look, it's not great that she posted it, but I'm a bit more concerned about her feelings than his if this is all true.
Yeah, but at the same time, this guy is still going to be in her life for at least 18 years. You still want things to be amicable.
Yeah, well, she did share a post that with a picture of the sonogram of her baby, and it said, I'm so glad that at least out of this, I have you, baby girl, just you and me.
Moving on to Married at First Sight, and Sam Ball, who was a villain on the show, he was the one who hooked up with Innes after he was married to Elizabeth. He shared a photo, and he looked absolutely unrecognizable.
Oh my gosh, he shaved his head and looks like a completely different person.
This popped up on the So Dramatic Facebook group and I had to go and search Instagram because I was like, surely this is not him.
Yeah, because he was pretty good looking before. Like he was a total douchebag, but that he had the looks going for him. But it seems like it's been a real downward spiral since he's been on the show. Like he's got a job at a Bottle-O.
His hair was creeping back as well a year ago. I mean, I don't think it was evident on the show, but I went back to have a look. So he must have shaved it off. Which I do respect. I feel like if it's creeping back too much, get rid of it.
It's also because he's got rid of the beard. So he looks like just a completely different person. We'll post the photo in our group and we'll see what you guys think.
That's a real moment for Elizabeth when you know that you've won.
Yeah, definitely.
I got a crush on Steph Glassworth. Oh, but she never liked no fool like me. But I'm more than my crooked teeth.
Now let's get into the influencer wrap. And Kate, you were absolutely frothing the podcast that Steph Claire Smith did about her pregnancy.
Well, what I loved was it was on the Kick Pod, which Steph and Laura Henshaw do together. And normally there's a lot of interviews with models and different people I'm not really interested in listening to. But I always say...
what a description.
Well, I really just want to hear them talk. Like yeah. I really enjoy their content on Instagram. I do their workout program. So I do fangirl those two girls.
I'd love to just hear them talk absolute crap.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of what it was, except obviously Steph was talking about her pregnancy and it was a really nice touch that Laura Henshaw was interviewing her, who, as I said, is her business partner and her best friend. So it was pretty cute. And what I really liked is she really opened up about her issues with PCOS. She talked about getting cysts removed from her ovaries and also talked about having abnormal cells removed from her cervix. So I think that was really great. And it was kind of a positive story to hear the fact that after going through all those different things that she managed to fall pregnant pretty easily.
I feel like it's really refreshing because I feel like a lot of people look in at Steph Claire Smith's life and assume that it's perfect and that she hasn't gone through any adversity. So it's really good that she is sharing some of those stories that people can actually relate to.
Yeah, she was just so unfiltered. I mean, she even shared the moments that she found out she was pregnant. Apparently she woke up and kind of felt just a bit different. So she went to the bathroom and did a pregnancy test, but her partner, Josh, was sleeping and apparently he suffers from insomnia. So she didn't want to wake him up. So she's sitting in the bathroom floor just knowing that she's pregnant, but couldn't tell anyone because she didn't want to wake anyone up. So
I love hearing those stories. I feel like, you know, with celebrities, you always hear that, you know, this A-lister is pregnant, but you don't hear any of those personal, like, cute stories that make that person actually human.
I loved hearing her relatable pregnancy cravings as well. It's all those old school foods you used to eat when you got home from school. So she's been loving sugary cereals. She's been eating cheese and bacon shapes and also white bread, which she's been sharing a lot on her story. I've noticed she keeps having, like, cereal bowls in her story.
I love that she was just hoeing into the Maltesers as well. I could not relate more to that.
Oh, I know. I can definitely see why this episode went number one on the Apple podcast charts because it just really fulfilled everyone that's got a crush on Steph Claire Smith's dreams to hear all about this inside information about her.
A crush on her.
There's a song.
Oh, yeah. G-flips.
Gosh, Amy needs to start listening. I'm sorry. If anyone can hear Archie in the background, he has gotten over this podcast recording very quickly and wants his attention from his mother.
Well, Archie's got to wait because we have to discuss Shani Grimmon's new boyfriend.
Yeah, this was really surprising. She kind of dropped it in her recent YouTube video with her new housemate, Josh. So Shani was talking about how she was suffering from some anxiety and she mentioned the fact that she had been telling her mum about a guy she had a crush on. So then later in the video, it came out that Shani and Josh were meant to go to a Halloween party. So, and she kind of flaked out because she was feeling anxious, which I felt really sorry for her.
I actually felt sorry for Josh because they'd gone down to buy, like they waited in this huge line to get a Halloween costume. I think they paid about $100 each for it. And then at the last minute, Shani pulled out.
Yeah, but if you're feeling anxious. Anyway, her not going to the party actually caused a discussion between her and Josh where Josh dropped that she apparently has a new boyfriend.
Well, he said because she said she's going to make sure that she gets on the alcohol the following week for their housewarming party. And he's like, no, this is bullshit. You're just boring now because you're in a relationship. And you could just tell by her face that she is, in fact, in a relationship.
Do you know what? She could have cut it out of the vlog. She edits the vlog, so she left it in.
Well, the other interesting part of the video was that she was wearing Tommy Hilfiger underpants and she says, ooh, it says Tommy, better get these off. Ooh.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's only been a couple of months since she announced her split from Tommy. So I'm guessing this split happened a lot earlier and it just wasn't announced.
Well, she was stuck in Melbourne in the lockdown, so she probably wanted to get the hell out of there.
Now, a TikTok account called Influencer Gossip AU, they were the first people to reveal the name of Shani Grimmon's boyfriend, who is Jacob Tompkins. We've done our stalk. What do you guys think?
Well, I had a look on Saturday night, because I have no life, at his Facebook page. And since that TikTok probably came out and more people saw it, he's made his Facebook page private. Bit of a hot tip there, but he still has an Instagram page where he has 2,355 followers. I'm expecting that number to soar dramatically.
So is it public?
Yes, it's public.
And I'm assuming they're both following each other.
They are, and she has liked a number of his photos from his page and a little bit of a stalk on LinkedIn. I found out that he is an event planner and he owns a business called Allure and Friends, which it says it's an event business. So
I've had a stalk of his Instagram and to me, he kind of looks like a normal guy, as in all of his photos aren't particularly posy and there are photos of him and his friends, but I can see him turning into an influencer, a bit like how Jonathan Sauer, Shani's ex-boyfriend, has, because he does have that kind of look to him.
Yeah, well, I just hope that he appears in her vlogs. I feel like that's what we were missing from Tommy. I really want to see their relationship play out.
Yeah, selfishly. Yeah, we just want to see him in the vlogs, add some character to the vlogs.
And hopefully see Shani happy again.
But yeah. I'm slightly disappointed because I don't want him to come in and ruin this whole banter between her and Josh, which I think everyone is enjoying at the moment.
Let's just see how quickly she changes managers, because at the moment she's managed by her ex, Tommy. And that was the same when she broke up with Jonathan. While she was single, she still had Jonathan as her manager. This guy works in events. Who knows? He'll probably have his own influencer management company in a couple of months' time.
Well, Lily Brown has taken to Instagram to tell her 358,000 followers that she's receiving counselling after a friendship bust up. So she went on to urge other people who are struggling to go to see their GPs to seek help. Now, what did you guys think of this one?
I think it is helpful that she's being so open about the help that she is receiving and urging others to do the same at the moment, particularly as we're going through COVID. People's mental health is so important and things like relationship breakdowns can really affect someone.
Well, it's pretty interesting she's talking about this friendship breakdown, because there are different rumors going around. There's some saying that she's no longer friends with Michael Finch. And then there's other rumors saying that, you know, this big bust up has happened between Lucy and Nikki.
Now they're from the Wild Ones.
The Wild Ones. So it is really interesting that she decided to make that public, because it really does add fuel to the fire.
Especially when she's saying that this fight is affecting her mental health. It is really difficult because as someone who is in the public eye, if you are to bring up the issue, she's just going to get more messages about it. I mean, we're speaking about it right now.
Yeah. I do think it is really sad that there has been a friendship breakdown, although we don't even know who it is, whether it is Michael Finch or it is Lucy and Nikki, whatever's happened, it's really sad. I do
think she did point out that it was someone on social media. So yeah. It's even weird that she felt the need to say that, because that kind of pinpoints, you know, that it's one of these people that we know.
Well, I do think that the whole message behind it is good, that people should seek help if they are in a situation where they feel like they need to speak to somebody. But by referencing that it involves a friendship breakup and referencing the fact that this person or people are on social media, it sort of drags it into a negative light.
You do also worry about those who are probably potentially receiving flack now from Lily Brown's followers, because, you know, as we said, it is fairly obvious it's a set group of people that it might be. I mean, people are already looking at whether, you know, who's following who, who's unfollowed who. It just is this like vicious cycle. I mean, I think that, as you said, messaging was fine. Just don't say that it's someone in the public eye that you're fighting with.
Do you think it's a bit of a power play from Lily Brown to say that?
It is quite interesting that Lily Brown has rekindled her friendship with Shiny Grimmett, because talking about power plays, I feel like that's the biggest power play you can have if you want to progress your influencer career.
Well, considering Shiny Grimmett is also friends with Michael Finch, who is rumoured to be feuding with Lily Brown, it does add some more interest to it, doesn't it?
Well, I'm just going to keep an eye on Instagram, because I feel like this is not the end of it. There's going to be some form of retaliation, and I must say I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what happens, because we all love a bit of tea. Finally, Kate, can you tell us about the update from Love Island's Molly Mae?
Yeah, well, sadly, she has revealed that the mole that she had removed has come back as a malignant melanoma, which is really horrible news. So we discussed a couple of weeks ago on the podcast how she was having to have a mole removed but was going to provide an update once some test results had come back. So sadly, it's really not good news. However, there's been a little bit of a confusing turn. So she was told the news that it was a malignant melanoma. However, now the doctors aren't really sure, so they're sending the mole off to get tested in the US.
I feel so sorry for her, because this is right as the UK is entering their second lockdown. I just can't imagine having this weighing on my mind during this time where you're stuck inside all day. You've got nothing to think about other than, you know, this awful situation that's happening.
Well, I think the worst part was she actually was gearing up to have a second lot of surgery following the initial mole removal. And I think it was a day before she was set to go into surgery, she found out that, hey, this perhaps might not be what we thought it was. So that would be really playing on your mind. I mean, you'd probably just want to have the surgery anyway and make sure that everything was, you know, removed that needed to be removed. So fingers crossed Molly gets some more positive news back from the US.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. If you did enjoy this episode, we'd love if you could go and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast.
And please come and join our Facebook community. There are some great conversations going on there. So just type in Outspoken, the Facebook community, and that's where you'll find us.
And we're so excited, because this Thursday we will be dropping our first Christmas episode in the series of A Very Outspoken Christmas. It'll just be on the same platform, so it'll just come up like usual. Make sure you are subscribed to us so you can listen to it first.
Yeah, so we'll be in your ears on Thursday, and we can't wait to get into the Christmas spirit with everyone.